Okay. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Lucas, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. I can hear you too. So, good morning, everybody. Good morning. So good to see all of you. I know you're just as nervous as I am. And if you've got a 4K TV, that is real sweat. That is real. So please just stay tuned. So I spoke this morning too, and I feel something stirring. Like I'm not a big feely guy. Like I'm not emotional. More like a robot kind of person, and so it's kind of like, okay, what's going on here? What is going on? So if you see me kind of wincing at my notes, it's because some things might be changing as I go, so I'm not too sure. So anyways, thanks so much for being here. I know it's kind of a weird time, and it's kind of cool that we're able to do this kind of back-to-back and see everyone on the same Sunday, and I know it's not exactly the same thing as it was before, but this is nice. I just want to say it's such a beautiful church. Not even that. It goes even further than that. So last night I was preparing this message, and as I was preparing it, I was downstairs in my office, and our youngest, he's 8 months old. His room is just above my office, kind of little offset, and I could hear him kind of rolling around in his crib, and he started to cry, and so I was like, okay, he's pretty tired, so I think he's gonna sleep. And so I just left him for about 5 minutes, and then I went upstairs, and then he was still crying, and so I went into his room, I opened up the door, and he was sitting there crying. He was just like, he was sad. So I picked him up, and then as I picked him up, he just kind of like fell into me and cuddled into me. And then I brought him over to the rocking chair, and I just spent a few minutes with him. I rocked him for a few minutes, and then he fell asleep. And in that moment, it kind of seemed like a little glimpse of what does God see in us? How does God see us? And how can we appreciate that in our view of God and his love for us? He views every single one of us as so precious to him. And you think about it, like in our culture, especially from a man's perspective, a male's perspective, I don't want to be precious. Like I want to be something that's strong. But God has made each and every single one of you precious. And I think that's something that's important to be heard, is that you are precious in God's sight. So I've got a couple of scriptures to go along with that. And when I was reading through it, I just kind of closed my eyes. So if you want to close your eyes and just hear these words, you don't have to. I'm not going to force your eyes closed. What you want me to do? You?
Yeah.
Okay. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now that seems like something important. We're his. We can hold on to that. Psalm 139, verse 14, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So something that we can appreciate out of just a couple of scriptures that really come down home on an individual level. Because there's so many questions that we can have in our lifetime. And we're always so either existential or we're not. We're like, okay, why am I here? And I always kind of think about that. Why am I here? What am I doing? What do I believe? Who am I? All these questions are just circling around inside of me at any given moment. And it's something that is almost nerve-wracking at times because you can feel so unanchored and unsure about everything that's going on. And in the world that we live in, it's pretty easy to get distracted and go wayward in just our thoughts and what we believe. And so with that, we can be assured that God has us. We are created. And just like Stan was saying, like with our remembrance of what Jesus has done, he has done it. It's an actual act. It's a historical death. And him taking on our sins and bringing us to life, that is something that happened. And for me, like I personally wasn't there, obviously. But I believe that it happened. 100% in my heart, even though there are moments in my life where those questions are coming up and popping up. Is this real? What is this? What have I grown up with? What have I heard? And the gospel is something that comes from something that you hear, not really something that you've seen. It's an account in the Bible because it's something that they've seen. They witnessed it. They were physical witnesses of Jesus being nailed to the cross, and they walked alongside him throughout his ministry after he called them. And that's something that we get to partake in, even though that we didn't have that physical experience in walking alongside Jesus in that day. But we can walk with him today if you choose to believe. And that all depends on what you've heard. What have you heard? There's so many things out there. So many things about religion and Christianity particularly can seem so fractured in a way. God is not fractured. Jesus is not fractured. He had one plan, one purpose. That purpose is done. Now we get to be a part of that. And the Father sent the Son, Jesus Christ, for us, so that we could share in his kingdom. Have you heard the gospel? I think that's a good question that we can ask ourselves in this moment. Have you heard the gospel? What have you heard? The good news about what Jesus has done? Communion is a great time to remember this amazing thing that has been done for us. Which gospel have you heard? Just take a moment to hear that out. Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or the gospel of Christianity? Or the gospel of the church? Is it quite different? It can mean so many different things. Only one of those will give you life. Others might help for a little bit, but throughout your life, they'll fade away over time. It's Jesus, by the way, that gives you life. It's not the gospel of Christianity and how it's been portrayed over a couple thousand years or so. It's not the church. It's Jesus. We get to be a part of the church, and we get to grow up in the church and be formed by the head, who is Jesus, and that's life-giving to us. And we can hold on to that. And where does it come from? How can we tell? I don't have any physical proof of Jesus. His spirit. His spirit is the proof. His spirit is the stamp, the guarantee. And even the spirit is something that we can't see. Or is it? We can see healing. We can see the character of God come through each and every one of us in a unique way, a specific way that God has created you to be. It comes in a very real way. And it shows the reality of Jesus. With that, we'll have to watch each other's lives. If we truly love each other, we will watch out for each other. As believers in Jesus, we'll watch out for our brothers and sisters who may not be in that place of belief in Jesus, and we'll love them. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. At all, I know I certainly am not perfect. I know some of you might think I'm perfect, but I'm not. Please stay tuned. I'm just kidding. And that's something that, for me, is something just amazing. Like, knowing Jesus and being able to walk your life out after believing what he's done, he's died for you. He's been risen to life for you. He took on all of the sins and the sin and conquered that for you. And that's the God that we serve, is this amazing God who not only has the power to sacrifice himself, but to raise himself up. No, I can't do that. Churches can't do that. Christianity can't do that. Jesus can do that. And it's a journey. Journeys are difficult. Believing is kind of difficult at times. I know for me, like in times when things happen, in relationships, in financial areas, in health, all those things are kind of hindrances. Kind of makes me wonder, why me? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? Well, it's all part of life. It's part of the journey. I was reading this thing about somebody's kind of like beginning of their healing process to the end. It's not a straight line, and that's exactly how Christianity is too. Is our journey with God is going to look something like this. I know for me it's kind of more like this, and then this over here, but but it is, it's worth it. Jesus is worth it, and that life is worth it, no matter how hard it is. It's hard to look at ourselves and really wonder, do I need to change? Do I want to? The gospel can bring you to life, because apart from that, there's only death. And Jesus can bring you to life. Well, what can we see? The character of God. We can see it through each other. And that is a beautiful thing. Being in this church, I don't know how long, almost a year now, I can see it. You can see it. That is something, if you wanted to say that's a tangible thing, you can see it. You can see it on people. You can see the fruits of the Spirit, as you see in Galatians 5, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's something that's evident. And that's something that people look to. They look for that evidence. Okay, well, what kind of signs and wonders do you have? Well, you know what? I've got love for you. I can be joyful no matter what. I can be kind to you, good to you, gentle, self-controlled. All these things I'm not perfect in. Like, every single one of those things I'm not perfect in. And that's evidence too. But not meeting up to those words, those characteristics of God, is not something that hinders me from having a passion towards God. And we can change day by day if we choose. These are growing markers. They're evidence of God. Some of us have longer time on this earth. Some of us don't. I don't understand that. But the journey with Jesus is a journey. It's not a fad. When I first became a Christian, I was telling somebody about how I believe in Jesus and really desiring to follow him. The person responded, "Okay, well, one of my family members went through that. They went through this phase of believing in Jesus." And that struck me in that moment. It's like, okay, is this something that's not going to last? Is this just a fad? I think if we want to believe that it's a fad, or if we hear that it's a fad, then it's going to be a fad. It's going to fade away. But for me, it was a wrestling. It was like, no, there's too many things that have happened in my own life that I can see for sure that was Jesus. He's got to be real. And so we grow from that. So that aside, kind of on an overarching level, kind of maybe by social consensus, the church has become this hub of religion and religious people. We kind of set it up in a way where it's kind of like, okay, if you want to come to church at least, you need to change in some way. Not even Jesus, you're not even talking about, you're talking about the church. You got to change in some way. If you attend church, if you listen at a church, you should be good. And if you don't, then you better watch out for this angry Jesus. And that is not Jesus. With that kind of heart, you can see bubbling on the surface, and I can tell you that I have been like that. Have an attitude of like that towards people, towards myself. As a person that's trapped, lacking joy, lacking the life that God has promised to give, and he promised through Jesus Christ. And Michael Eaton, he's passed away now. He's was a theologian of our time. He says this: the law cannot give assurance of salvation, cannot release us from doubts. It cannot give us fellowship with God, and instead sets up a barrier between us and God. The law never leads us into bold praying. We cannot draw near with full confidence to God if we are being intimidated by the law. The law cannot give us joy or boldness to witness. It deprives us of the very joy we need to witness to others. It will never draw us closer to other Christians. It will never work in us faith or hope of optimism. Rather, it will bring us into despair. Cannot give us ease before God. Cannot give us liberty. Now, I think that's so true. If we were to look at the law and how religious forms have been set up apart from the Word of God and the Spirit and the truth, we can turn that around and we can say, here's the reality of Jesus. Here's the life-giving power of Jesus. Now, I'm saying Michael Eaton was wrong. He was getting to that in his book, but I'd have to read it to you guys, which would be a little much, I think. It's a good book. But anyways, I'm just going to turn those phrases around and I'm going to say Jesus can give us assurance of salvation and release us of doubts. He can give us fellowship with God and break down barriers between us and God. Jesus always leads us into bold praying. Jesus is the way we can approach God in full confidence that the law's requirements have been met. Jesus draws us closer to other Christians. Jesus works in us faith and hope, brings us into joy of life. Jesus gives us ease before God, as he is God, and he gives us liberty. Can we breathe that? We get so agitated about Jesus and having to live up to a certain standard of, I gotta be good, it's Sunday. But you know what? I'm not good. No, not today. But we can relax. We can relax in the presence of God and be like, you know what? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the real power that he has for me through his Holy Spirit, because he can do some pretty marvelous works in us, in each and every single one of us. But it's never without doubt. For some reason, I always have this doubt. I wonder, what am I doing here, even at church? And I wonder, is this some kind of weird thing? But you go back to the Word of God and you say, no, this is what the Word says, because my feelings don't matter in this. Because if we're led by our feelings, we're going to be led astray because our hearts are so wayward. If we're led by the Spirit of God and believe what we've heard about the truth and the gospel, then that's where we're going to go. Because what's been poured into us from our hearing is going to be the way that we live our lives. And we're going to see that. We do see that. Now there's a section of scripture I'd just like to read. Some of it is well known, some maybe not so much, but it's out of John 3. And I think if we were to talk about the gospel, then that's a pretty good place to start, I think. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. That is kind of maybe something that in that time might have not been so uncommon. But he said, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. That's the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's own one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, if there's one person that we do not need to be ashamed to be in front of, that's Jesus. Wherever you are in your life, no matter what moment, whatever you're experiencing, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. You are his. He created you exactly the way you are. Circumstantially, things might be happening, but that doesn't change the love that God has for you. It's always the same. And if you choose, it can always grow. The closer we come to Jesus, the closer he comes to us. But he's always with us. You are all beautiful people. Yeah. I think that needs to be heard. Because maybe we don't hear that enough. Every single one of us. And that's how God created us. That's why he created us. And he created the way. He made the way for us. Through Jesus. We can have life. The fullest life that we can have, however that might look in God. So I'm just going to pray for us. And if you don't know Jesus, give him a look. You won't regret it. God, we thank you for your love for us and for creating us. Thank you for holding us in every single moment. We can't escape your presence. Cannot escape your presence. Thank you for your word, your truth, the truth of the gospel, God. We ask that our eyes would be fixed on you through each of our own contexts and our unique circumstances. God, I ask that we be strengthened together. We trust for healing, just as Stan had spoken of earlier on, for people who might be sick right now or experiencing any kind of ailment. We ask for healing and we trust for it because we know that you can heal. You give eternal life, we know that you can heal. So we thank you for everyone today. We ask that you bless them, bless their week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone.